land use, March 30th, 2005. Committee, we will not be having a work session on either one of these bills today, but we will have public hearings on both of them. So we'll open the public hearing on 2704. Sam?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 2704 requires Land Conservation Development Commission to review large urban parks for possible designation of a state as an area of state concern and to recommend management plans for a large urban park. Large urban parks are defined in the bill as Forest Park in Portland and Balch Creek, and also any other 1,000-acre park that's abutting or joining a city's urban growth boundary.
Okay, this was Representative Greenwick's sponsorship of this bill, so. Representative Nolan, you'll have to control yourself with Representative Greenwick on the other side over there. This is your chance.
I plan to interrupt every second word.
Yes.
I'll welcome it, Mr. Chair.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. I'm State Representative Mitch Greenwick, House District 33, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk about Bill 2704. And we're not asking, as I told you, for a work session today. There are amendments coming that are being worked out. In the 2003 session, I had a bill put forward that would name Forest Park as an area of special state concern. In SB 100, the Develop the Land Use Laws, there's a section in there that provides that DLCD can name an area of special state concern, do a study, and then name an area of special state concern. There never has been in the 30 years since SB 100 an area named as an area of special state concern. The Canadian area gives DLCD and LCDC some special responsibilities for the planning of such an area. There have been proposals in the past to name, I think the Columbia Gorge has been considered as a possible area of special state concern, the Oregon Coast, Smith Rock. There have been sort of nebulous proposals to take advantage of this, but this has never happened. I was particularly concerned with elevating the status of Forest Park, which is in my district, because I do believe it is an area of special state concern. It's an extraordinary place, and it's made up of a city park inside Forest Park, a city park called Forest Park, I think perhaps 5,000 acres, a very large city park, and an area surrounding it, which includes wildlife summer and winter range, and a set of wildlife corridors from the coastal mountains into Forest Park. And it also includes the Balch Creek watershed, which is slightly to the south of it, but that feeds through Forest Park, a creek in the middle of urban Portland that has native cutthroat runs still in it. Forest Park is an extraordinary park. It has not only hundreds of miles of trail maintained both by the city and by volunteers of Friends of Forest Park. It has extraordinary wildlife. It has herds of Roosevelt elk in it within sight of the city, cougars. It has deer wandering through at all times. It has bears. We had a bear in my neighborhood. I live in the fringe of Forest Park as well. We had a bear in my neighborhood knocking over garbage cans and banging on windows one time. They ended up actually catching the bear climbing an electric fence into the Portland Zoo. It was apparently either food or sex that interested the bear outside the inside the zoo. But because this large area is a public and private area, it's both a park and a residential area and a forested area. It's really quite an extraordinary place. William Clark, as a part of the Lewis and Clark expedition, came down the Willamette River, paddled up the Willamette River, and observed and wrote in his diaries about seeing the trees of what is now Forest Park off the west bank of the Willamette River, just 2 or 3 miles up from the confluence of the Willamette and the Columbia. So, and the responsibility for this area that feeds us is part of Metro, it's part of the city of Portland, it's part of Multnomah County, it's part of Washington County. So it makes the coordination of the planning and the future of this a complicated matter. As I thought to see how to get discussions going about how to protect this for the next 100 years, I came upon this area of special state concern. And 2 years ago, I produced a bill that would simply name it as an area of special state concern, bypassing the DLCD and LCD process of considering what ought to be a state, an area of special state concern, and just doing it and saying, okay, DLCD, here you are, you've got to do something now. Although it isn't clear what, because they had never done anything like that before. That raised, correctly, I think, a bunch of problems from the perspective of the city and the county and DLCD and Metro and a variety of other places. So I worked in the interim with these folks and came up with a proposal that isn't exactly what you have in front of you, and that's why we're not asking for action today. We're getting a set of amendments that Bob, Randy, and Randy can talk about as well. But the intention, what it is I want to put before you, is a proposal that simply gets DLCD, working under LCD, to study the question of whether this might be an appropriate thing to do, naming Forest Park and its environments as an area of special state concern. The bill you have in front of you takes it much further than that. It requires a management plan. It does a variety of things that require a large, raises some issues with Metro and also requires a rather large fiscal. So what we're going to come back to you with, the objective is the same. It's to find a way to get DLCD working under the commission to do a relatively modest study that looks at this area, looks at what the statute means, and does a relatively short-term study on whether it would make sense for it to do a larger and more complex analysis of whether Forest Park should be named an area of special state concern. And I'll be happy to take questions, but perhaps we must take questions after Bob and Randy also have a chance to testify.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Bob Rindy with the Department of Land Conservation and Development. And as you just heard, I have been talking with Representative Greenlick about the bill. The area of critical statewide concern in our statute, the way that statute is supposed to work, and he's correct that we've never actually designated one of these, but our understanding has been generally a proposal would come from somebody else, usually from a local government, and it's written in the statute in that way. And LCDC would then make a decision. Does the LCDC think it merits designation as an area of critical concern? If the answer is yes, then LCDC would forward that recommendation to the Joint Interim Land Use Committee or to the legislature if they're in session, I suppose. And then it's up to the legislature to, if they agree with that, then to ask us to go forward with some sort of plan, which may include regulations, may include a variety of things, to actually manage it. That's the piece that Representative Greenleaf mentioned that I have tried to draft some amendments that aren't available yet, where it would be clear that we would do that if the legislature agrees it ought to be in an area, rather than in advance, rather than do or draft a management plan, which could be quite an undertaking, and then then submit to the legislature not only the recommendation that it be an area of critical concern, but also the management plan by eliminating that piece. And I think that affects a couple parts of this bill. We believe the fiscal that we have on this will pretty much go away. We don't have an opinion at this point whether it ought to be one. I think it's what's envisioned in this bill is that local governments would do some sort of study, I think using our grant funding that we generally have in our budget, whether that means grant funding should be identified in addition to what's already in our budget or some piece of what's already there, I'm not quite clear on. I think the understanding is that local government would do some work prior to bringing it to LCDC with a recommendation that it be an area of critical statewide concern.
The fiscal is around $125,000.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I think to do a management plan of a large urban park like this, there is no park planning expertise on staff at DLCD. So we proposed that we would have to hire that planner to do a management plan of this complexity. That's the reason for the fiscal. We also believe that on page 1, line 24 and 25, that's also, that's in a sense a management plan and even perhaps an amendment to our existing rules on natural resources. So we think both those elements are premature. We would amend the bill to take them out and if in the end the legislature thinks it ought to be an area of critical concern, only at that time would we think it would be appropriate to have us go forward with that kind of plan.
Okay. Do I have Randy come up now, or would you rather have him come up separately? Okay, Randy. We'll save our questions committee for all three.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Randy Tucker, Legislative Affairs Manager for Metro. When I arrived here today, I was prepared to work with Representative Greenlick on this bill, but then he made a critical mistake. He referred to the Portland Zoo. That is the Oregon Zoo, owned and operated by Metro. Thank you very much, Representative. But I think we can forgive him that trespass. And what I wanted to say is
this is the first time this session that Representative Greenlick has been in error.
But I imagine that's probably true. At least on the record. As the lobbyist for the zoo, I have very thin skin about that. No. We've been talking to Representative Greenlick for, we had a meeting with him in the interim to try to get some sense of where to go with this thing, and then he went ahead and moved forward, and we've only begun to kind of pull it back together the last couple of days, but I've been talking to my staff to find out what they think about the bill as it got drafted, and there were some concerns that arose, and so I spoke to Representative Greenwood yesterday and expressed those. I think we can work together on them. I want to just express the concerns about the bill as it's written, and then what I think we're going to try to work out. There were two major main concerns that were raised to me. One is the language about the area of influence in the bill. It's a 2-mile line out beyond the boundaries of the park, and the problem that potentially creates for us is that brings you into very close to a rapidly developing area in the northern part of the Washington County part of the metro urban growth boundary, the Bethany area, which was recently brought into the urban growth boundary, and there's concept planning that's getting going about what might happen in that area and around it in the future. And so we wanted to make sure that this process didn't somehow override or unduly conflict with that process. And the second concern that was raised by my colleagues was the sort of separate process that was envisioned in this bill, that is not, as I just alluded to, not necessarily integrated with processes that are ongoing in the region to look at future growth of the urban area as well as the natural values that are in fact addressed by this bill. So we had a conversation the other day, and I think that our interests are a lot closer than the language of the bill gets us there. I think we should be able to work out some language that that brings everything together in a way that achieves both our interests and what's in the Green Lakes. And the one interest that he identified to me that is not a metro interest, of course, is the statewide interest in that would be identified by identifying as area of critical state concern. That's something obviously for the state to determine and not for metro to determine, but certainly we can consider that as the planning for this area of the region goes on. So I'm happy to work with both DLCD and with Little Green Lake to come back with some amendments that would achieve all of our goals.
The committee is grateful we didn't have an objection to the sex and food statement.
No. It was where that bill was going, but
any questions?
Not why.
Be correct.
It used to be called the Shorty Zoo, I believe. But,
Representative Anderson.
This testimony is getting hard to bear. I wanted to ask Representative Dallum, I believe, has a bill that he'd be willing to offer you some rules for Forest Park as well. Would that be acceptable?
Well, that's something to do.
Ivy rules would be wonderful to help keep the cougar population down without hounds.
When did I lose control of this?
Follow up. Just one further question, and that is that you're talking about offsetting costs to local governments. Could you explain a little bit more what the fund, maybe John, the fund from which this would be taken, and how much that includes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, there is has been for some time a fund that DLCD manages for grants to local government for planning. A lot of that goes to technical assistance for a variety of purposes, periodic review and other things of that nature. I think in order to do the study that would be necessary prior to Metro and the local governments bringing a proposal to LCDC for consideration, I think there's some work at the local level. And I think we simply noted that would be some amount. I don't know how much it would be that local governments would need to expend to do that study. And I was simply commenting that I understood Representative Greenlee to believe that perhaps that grant fund that I just spoke of would be where local government would obtain the funding for that study.
It would appear to me that it would be better for LCDC to be controlling it if it's your money rather than somebody else just handing a bill and hopefully it'd be under your control in some way. One other comment I guess I'd like to make or question. It appears that it's just written 401 Park for Forest Park with the possibility that it might be needed somewhere else for 1,000 acres or more. Are you aware of any other place where this is currently being requested?
I'm not aware of any specific places, but I do know there are state parks that perhaps might be that size. The intention was really to make it Forest Park. LC was more comfortable with making it more generic. I think in the amendments it will make it more specific.
Thank you.
Any further questions from the committee? Representative, how long would you like us to wait before rescheduling this bill?
It depends on the schedule of LC, but I think we have a basic idea where we want to go, and I'm hoping a week should be enough.
A week? Okay. Sam, will you make a note? We'll reschedule the bill in approximately a week from today.
Okay.
Seeing no further questions, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And we will close the public hearing. Director Shetterly, did you have any comments on this? Okay. We will close the public hearing on House Bill 2704 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2100. Sam?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Members of the committee, House Bill 2100 essentially will establish regional land use planning commissions throughout the state. The bill speaks reference to six regional land use commissions. If you look closely at it, I think you'll notice that there's some overlapping, particularly in the region described in the Willamette Valley. So if the fact will be five regional commissions. what the bill basically will do is it will reduce some of the authority of LCDC, and it will establish the regional commissions, who would then be responsible and have the authority for enacting and following in the statewide planning goals. The statewide planning goals would not be eliminated. Each of the regions would take in some of the unique characteristics associated with the state. There would be a coastal region, an eastern region, a southern region, a Willamette Valley region, and a Portland metro region. And one of the issues that is, I'm sure you've been heard numerous times of this committee, it has been that the one size fits all, that there are planning related issues that are statewide, but they apply to, and they apply to all communities in the state, but there are some characteristics which don't seem to make them fit in different parts. And so each of the commissions would then have the authority to be able to propose any amendments to particular rules that might better allow the rules, the state rules, to be able to implement them within that particular region. Now, it will also make a number of changes. As you've probably noticed, this is a rather thick bill, I think about 180 plus pages, and a number of them is changes to allow the regional authorities to be able to be mentioned in state statutes in a wide variety of places. It would also, the current board of the LCDC would be changed so that each of the chairs of the regions would then become board of directors members. And in part, one of the things in there that each of the regions would look at while they were assessing any particular rule changes that might be needed would be to take into consideration and allow for diverse administrative and planning capabilities of local governments, assess economic and property impacts, and assess any alternative actions which may be available while considering any particular amendments that might be needed for any rules or goal changes associated with better sharing compliance with local and regional plans with statewide goals. So I think that gives probably a very brief overview of a very large bill, but I think that kind of hits on the major points associated with the bill. I will point out that we did, just before the meeting, receive some -1 amendments, and I've had no time to go through those amendments.
Okay. We'll start out with Director Shetterly. I've only had two people signed up to speak on this bill, Senator Atkinson, please come forward. I'm sorry, you were sitting with Schellenberg, and we just don't even like the look of Schellenberg.
I know.
That was unfair, Don. I apologize. Good afternoon, Senator.
Good afternoon. Go ahead. Thank you. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for letting me get in. I do have another committee to get to, but I thought what I could do is provide some little bit of background on this bill. And I think you're about to have a very healthy and I hope an engaging conversation about one of the things I think that Oregon's at the crux of. In 1999, I proposed a bill that would regionalize the representatives that are on the current LCDC board. And it has taken, I believe it took 4 years for that.
Your chair's much higher than mine. I'm
just kidding. Colleagues of you, Director Shetterly and I served together in the House, and there's lots of work we do together, even when we genteelly oppose bills together. We worked on this bill to regionalize land use planning.
Senator,
to regionalize the representatives.
Excuse me, but for the record, we need you to identify yourself.
You do?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, sir. I have jumped on an airplane, jumped in the shower, flew all night, got here, and realized I hadn't shaved or anything. It's been a long night. I am Senator Jason Atkinson. I represent a chunk of Southern Oregon.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good chunk.
What's that?
Good chunk.
Thank you. We regionalized the representatives of the membership of LCDC, largely followed a pattern that was happening throughout state government at the time that would follow two at-larges and representatives from each of the congressional districts in an effort to do two things. Number one, to really restore some trust with the concept of LCDC out in the rest of Oregon who did not have representatives on the board, and number two, to hopefully make the board, at least over time, I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all, but at least over time, have some of the more rural issues brought forward when they were addressing one-size-fits-all policies. Where we get to today with this bill is an effort to take it one step further to regionalize some of the administrative rules that are made at the local level. I just got done, spent an hour with a group over lunch talking about what happens in the wake of Measure 37, what happens as we really have some divisions on what is land use planning and its means in modern-day Oregon. Before I go any further, I will say that Director Shirley is doing a fantastic job of making this organization, the culture of this organization, change to letting people have a say and letting them have an investment into being, I think she says, I'm sorry, it's jet lag, but not consumer-driven, but... Anyway, he'll think of it. But he's doing a fantastic job. I think what we really see, especially in the rural areas, is still a great deal of frustration when you have three different government entities that don't necessarily mesh very well together, and you're just trying to get to a solution. For instance, I can tell you many cases in Southern Oregon in which a landowner will go and get a different answer from the city, a different answer from the county, and a different answer from LCDC. There is not a member of the Oregon legislature that can navigate the land use system. Certainly, if we can't do it, there is no citizen of Oregon that can do it very easily, not without hiring and spending two things, lots of their own money on lawyers and spending a lot of their time. And the main thing we want to get to is definitive yes-nos on planning. And so I think what you have before you comes out of two things. Again, like the bill I was addressing in 1999, an effort to give people some investment into the program, into land use planning, not to gut it, but to bring the pendulum back to the middle, I think. Not to throw it out, but to make people make it work on a region-by-region basis. And number two, hopefully to get to those definitive answers more quickly. I think, again, even though I believe the director might be opposing me here, I think what he's doing right now has been fantastic. But I can show you cases by case by case by case in Southern Oregon where a administrative rule or decision that works fantastic in the Willamette Valley does not do, or in many cases does the exact opposite of what we want it to do in Southern Oregon or in Southeastern Oregon or even Eastern Oregon. And so it is with that and where we began in 1999 that we bring you this bill to regionalize it one step further and to, you know, make government more responsive to people at the local level. I know you're going to have some good debate. I do want to thank the Oregon Federation Farm Bureau who has helped. As you know, Farm Bureau in Measure 37 was split on how they would attack or support or oppose Measure 37. But they do have a policy of getting government as close to people as possible, and I think they should be commended for an offensive measure to bring this bill to you at this time and work in their own system. So with that, I'd be delighted to answer any questions. I know the director's here and Farm Bureau's here, and thank you, Mr. Chair, for making some time for me and not making me talk about the zoo.
Any questions of the senator? Seeing none.
I stunned him or bored him? Was that a comment?
Oh, no, you stunned him. Yeah, it was
that's
very good. Very good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. One committee member is saying brilliant. So,
you're neutral?
Mm-hmm.
What's that, Mr. Chair? I'm sorry. We were interrupted by the director of LCDC.
I never should have brought the two of you up at the same time.
No, we do an act. It's two shows, 9 and 11. And, all right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Director Shadow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Tough act to follow. This is Lane Shadowy, Director of the Department of Land Conservation and Development. During my first 9 months or so on the job, I spent just about half my time on the road, as we've talked before. And I will say, I can fairly report to you that the question of regionalization and making the program more transparently reflect regional interests and differences was certainly a consistent theme that I heard from the Lower Mountains to the Harbor Bench and every place in between. That led in my conversations around the state and the city and county officials in particular to a good conversation about what is now Senate Bill 82 and the 30-year review and the way to revise the program to better reflect that regionalization. You've got this bill, House Bill 2100, and as I represented to Senator Atkinson on his way out, we are neither in support nor by matter opposed to this bill. The department is your department. The commission is your commission, creation of statute. And certainly this is one way to address that those regional interests, and we would be prepared to work to implement this if the legislature adopts this. We have indicated a fiscal impact on this, just recognizing that to create the five commissions and then the staffing to operate and keep the communications and coordination represents a new, certainly an expansion of the business that we do, and we would want to be very careful in working with the Ways and Means Committee in how that's implemented. But in terms of concept and one way to approach regionalization, and we do recognize that that is, I think, a very strong interest around the state. The last thing that I would comment on this, just for your information, on the part of the conversation about this that I heard around the state was the one-size-fits-all as well. And so I asked the staff to do research the statutes and the goals and rules and the various ways in which some element of regional differences are already embedded in the program. And there is a white paper. It's about a 4 or 5 page document on our website that's available that shows currently where regional interests and differences are reflected in the existing program. I'll be honest, it's not very transparent. As Senator Atkinson said, it's a complicated program and you have to know where what the rules are and how to make them apply. So there is an element certainly that's there. I think the program recognizes that, but it's not transparent. Certainly this is one way to make that a more transparent gesture toward regional differences around the state. So with that, I would just end my comments.
Questions? Representative Leon.
Thank you, sir. I haven't read this bill carefully enough. It's a long one, but my assumption is that there are some statewide things that need to happen and then some regional. I mean, I could have described as maybe establishing the goals at the statewide level and then having them interpreted at the regional level. How would you imagine as the person in charge of the organization responding, I would assume, both to the statewide commission and to the regional commission. How do you see yourself managing that whole process?
That's a leadership question, Mr. Chair, Representative Greenlight, in terms of how. I don't think I've gotten there personally yet in terms of how we would manage that, but the structure I think you suggested is what I understand the bill to create, a structure whereby the goals, the statewide goals, are still under the purview of LCDC and of the department, and then within the regional commissions you have the more flexibility in terms of how those goals are actually implemented in rules applicable to the communities in those regions. I think if I could conceptualize it and find a place just to park it in my brain, it's not all that different if you think about it in terms of what we do right now with local governments that have their comprehensive plans that if you look at them really vary widely from one jurisdiction to another, but all have to be consistent with that broader mandate or regimen of the goals and statutes. I think you would probably have something like that in terms of management of any rules or implementation at the regional commissions, ensuring that at the least they are consistent with the statewide goals and statutes, and so we would have that overarching kind of authority as well.
Yeah,
Carl.
I just got the amendments to 2704. You've had a chance to travel the state, and you've had a chance to look at it. There are some natural barriers that create natural regions, although remember that New Yorker map of the world, or the United States from New York, which New York is big and everything else is small. I mean, it seems to me, even with my casual experience of driving east of the mountains, visiting communities, there are some pretty big differences in the issues that, say, relate right along the Columbia River to issues that are in the high desert, or even in southern Oregon. So, do you think it's possible to create regions that are homogeneous enough within themselves, but heterogeneous enough among them to make real regional differences here?
Mr. Chair, Representative Greenberg, that is an excellent question, and I think still one that we would want to be in conversation with. I mean, I'm moving this bill today, but one that we would want to be in conversation with you about. If you look, for instance, at Region 5 on the original bill, I know we have some amendments, so maybe different there, but for instance, if you look at, that's a pretty big region. It's got Deschutes County in it, which encompasses the fastest growing population communities in Oregon, and it's got Wallowa and Wheeler, and even within a region that we might, from this perspective, that New Yorker cartoon, cover perspective, looks like one region. I have a feeling those folks out there in Wheeler County or out in Grant County and Harney may see themselves even having some substantial differences from the folks in Deschutes. So this is not a panacea. I think it is still going to be a matter of management and would require careful attention to the application even of these regional manifestations of rules and regulations, because I think even on a regional basis, you've got some pretty substantial sub-regional differences that are reflected in this. You can get at that by making more regions, but where do you stop? I think this at least recognizes that there are some major regional breaks around the state, and probably no matter where you draw the line, somebody's going to be on one side or the other and wish they were another place, but I think at some point you just have to recognize that these represent at least defensible regional identifications.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
There has been, Mr. Director, a question of the constitutionality of having your board members be landowners. Are you familiar with that?
No, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, no.
Okay.
Even in my law practice, Mr. Chair, I was not a constitutional lawyer, so that's not to say I was an unconstitutional lawyer.
Any further questions? Seeing none, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Don? The committee that Mr. Schellenberg has marked on his sheet that he is for this bill. So.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Don Schellenberg, representing Northern Farm Bureau. You're entirely correct. In spite of my appearance, I'm not a member of the aforementioned zoo. Just to make that clear. And perhaps you can look more kindly on me after the day. The tired phrase, so to speak, has been used several times here today. It's a one-size-fits-all program, and in land use planning, one size does not fit all. That statement has been made probably a million times since the beginning of Oregon's statewide land use planning program in the 70s. The Oregon Farm Bureau House of Delegates recognized that fact back in the 80s when they adopted our policy, number 3.180. That policy suggests a regional approach that allows the various regional commissions to adopt land use planning rules that more closely reflect the reality of the geographic conditions, the population pressures of the region, and the vision of those who live there. The result can be different rules designed by those living in the different regions that implement the same statewide goals and guidelines that protect Oregon's valuable natural resources. True to the hard-working heritage of agriculture producers, Farm Bureau members didn't just rest on their policy. Our regionalization concept was introduced to the legislature in the early 90s. Although it did not take root then, the policy has remained a part of the land use section of our policy book. nor have they ignored the policy since then. Farm Bureau and Senator Atkinson, as you mentioned, led the effort in the 1999 session, he said. I thought it was 2001, but I defer to the senator of how time flies, it seems, in that session to restructure LCDC so we now have five regions representing approximately similar population numbers, more uniform geographical regions, and a coastal region instead of the former five congressional regions. As is often the case with reorganization bills and the added deadline crunch in legislative council, the introduced bill needed some changes. We believe the Dash 1 amendments before you make those necessary changes. We apologize to the committee and anyone who tried to understand the bill or prepared comments based on the bill as introduced for the hearing today. The general provisions of the plan are this. The five regional commissions consist of seven members from their region, appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Senate. The seven members include a local government person, a business or industry person, an environmental organization representative, and four landowners, one of which must be a member of an agricultural organization, one a small woodlands organization member, one a developer or a builder, and one at-large member. Each commission chooses their own chairperson. The commissions have the responsibility, the regional commissions, that is, have the responsibility to write the implementing rules for statewide goals and guidelines for their individual regions that guide the construction of the local government comprehensive plans. Thus, you may have different rules in different regions that implement the same statewide goals and guidelines. Individual appeals of local government land use decisions would be to the regional commission in the landowner's region, thereby making things more convenient for Oregon citizens. Subsequent appeals would be to LUBA and on up as they are now. The statewide LCDC would be reduced from seven members to five members, with each of the regional chairpersons occupying one of those positions. The responsibility of the statewide LCDC would be threefold. First, they would be responsible for the goals and guidelines. Second, they would be responsible for the rules that govern the process issues of land use planning so that they would be uniform throughout the state. And third, they would be responsible for acknowledging the local government comprehensive plans. They would have the authority to appeal the regional rules to LUBA if they thought they were not consistent with the goals and guidelines. Likewise, local governments would have the authority to appeal their plans and plan amendments to LUBA if LCDC refused to acknowledge them or appeal their rules to LUBA if the regional commission asserted that the local government rule was not consistent with the regional commission's rules. We believe administration of this reorganization by a DLCD would obviously take some adjustment, but is entirely possible. We would suggest that at a minimum there would be likely need to be one staff person assigned to each region as an administrator and liaison between the region and the state DLCD office. DLCD staff, who are now responsible for various aspects, subjects, or goals and guidelines, would have to service each of the regional commissions from the state office with their expertise. This may or may not involve additional staff. What of the budget impact?
That should not be a deciding factor.
The overarching goal with House Bill 2100 is reorganizing and implementing our land use planning system so that it works for the citizens of Oregon and is a system that the citizens believe is just and fair. These changes should bring the plans and decision-making closer to the local level and streamline the process so it is less cumbersome and more convenient for the citizens and the local government. We believe that House Bill 2100 achieves those goals. The Oregon Farm Bureau asked me to take some time to study this bill in light of the amendments. And thank you for the opportunity today to make these comments, and we'll be happy to try to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Questions of Mr. Schellenberg. Wow, you did a good job.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate it. Committee, there's no question that there needs to be some work on this bill, and some of the constitutional questions brought up and settled, and we'll turn that over to LC and let them try and do that, and hopefully we'll be able to bring this bill back shortly and be able to have some kind of finalized product.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We will, anyone else wish to testify on House Bill 2100? Okay, seeing none, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 2100. Seeing no further business before the committee, we are adjourned.
Thank you.